Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give, and there's no regular commitment. Just click the link in the show description to support now.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to another edition of Inside Boxing Live. I'm your host, Dan Canobio. On this show, we're going to talk to Larry Merchant, the iconic voice of HBO Boxing. We're also going to talk to Kevin Ioli of Yahoo Sports. Obviously, the big story in boxing right now is the, I'm going to say, tragic news of HBO Sports. They're going to close down shop after 45 great years. 2019, you will no longer see boxing on HBO. It was a New York Times article written by Wallace Matthews, a friend of the show, pretty much laying down the groundwork that Peter Nelson put out there to say that, you know, after 45 years, it has been shown that the our subscription, our audience, no longer interested in boxing. A tough pill to swallow. And I really am looking forward to talking to Larry Merchant. Of course, he was, for over 30 years, he was the iconic broadcaster alongside Jim Lampley, George Foreman, Roy Jones, all over the years. Those post-fight interviews with Larry were magical. Whether he was talking to Floyd Mayweather, whether he was talking to Buster Douglas, Mike Tyson, Oscar De La Hoya, he had those moments that only Larry can drum up. So I'm really looking forward to that interview, talking to Larry Merchant, as well as Kevin Ioli. He'll lay down the business side of things, what this means for the boxing landscape. Because there are a lot of people that think that boxing is now dead because HBO is out of the sport. Couldn't be any further than the truth. You know, boxing right now is flourishing, and that's pretty much the reason why HBO Boxing decided to shut its doors, was because there's way too many options out there. You know, for about 40 years, I would say about 25 to 30 of those years, the biggest fights in boxing were only on HBO. They were nowhere else. There was no competition. You know, Showtime, you know, would kind of take, you know, the end of the careers of some guys like Evander Holyfield, Julio Cesar Chavez. You know, they weren't much competition to HBO. You know, there was no streaming services that could, you know, take a chunk out of HBO subscribers. So things changed in boxing. It's constantly changing. What do you see today? We see nothing but streams and, you know, fights on back, going back to cable. You know, and HBO decided that they were no longer wanting to be in the boxing business. It was tough. I know a lot of fans. I know a lot of people in media getting texts and talking to people in the industry about how, you know, how sad they are that you know, they grew up watching HBO Boxing. I mean, from a personal standpoint, yes, I work for CompuBox, and, you know, my father created CompuBox, and HBO was our first client 33 years ago, 1985. It was when we pitched CompuBox to, not me, but they pitched CompuBox to Ross Greenberg at HBO, and he decided to go with it. So for 33 years, you heard Jim Lampley, you heard all the voices there, Barry Tompkins, bring up the name CompuBox, you know, that Jim Lampley made it famous by saying it nearly every round. But just from a personal standpoint, all the guys at HBO, they were more than just a client for us. They were a family. I mean, we had wiffle ball games in my backyard back on Long Island, Team CompuBox versus Team HBO. I mean, as a kid, I would go to the fights and I would go into the truck, and then I would go ringside and talk to Michael Buffer, talk to Jim Lampley, talk to all the great voices at HBO. It's tough. It really is tough. And what it means for the landscape, if you want to, you know, go away from a personal standpoint and think about what it means for boxing, now guys like Triple G, guys like Canelo are going to be free agents. Where will Triple G go? Where will Canelo go? That's a question I'm going to ask Kevin Ioli, who is certainly in the know. But it's a sad day for boxing fans. Something that we thought would never come. We never thought a day that HBO would no longer be showing boxing, but that's the case. That's the world keeps moving, and we're going to keep moving forward too here at CompuBox and at Inside Boxing Live. There's a lot of things going on in boxing. You know, Deontay Wilder, Tyson Fury press conferences are heating up. A lot of DAZN shows coming down the pipe. Terrence Crawford is in business. I mean, by the time you know it, it's going to be the end of the year, and we're going to be talking Fighter of the Year candidates and all that great stuff. But we have a big-time show for you coming up. Larry Merchant, Kevin Ioli, a lot of HBO talking is coming up next. All right, before we get to our next guest, I have to tell you about Jack Doyle's Restaurant and Bar. Jack Doyle is located on 35th Street and 7th Avenue, right in the heart of New York City. We're right in the middle of football season, college football. The Major League Baseball playoffs is coming up, so a lot of good action in the sports world. Head over to Jack Doyle's, tell them the Inside Boxing Live crew sent you. And with that, we have to bring in a guest here. I am thrilled to talk to him. He is the International Boxing Hall of Fame broadcaster. You heard him for years and years on HBO Boxing. He, of course, is the one and only Larry Merchant, and he's gracious enough to take some time out of a vacation in New York City to talk to me here on Inside Boxing Live. Larry, thank you for coming on.
Thank you. Anytime.
Now, Larry, you know, the demise of HBO, something that, you know, has been reported for years now. There were rumors out there. We all kind of saw the writing on the wall when there were less fights, you know, less big fights. But, you know, just to see that writing, you know, to see that New York Times report on Thursday when the news broke, what was your initial reactions when you got the news?
Well, I had a bit of a delayed reaction because I saw the same writing on the wall that you did and that most everyone else did as their schedule continued to decline. And then it sort of was a punch in the gut. I lived with them through their start as a promising kid through their championship years. And so it was a little hurtful, but it's the arc of life, and you start out with energy and pouring your heart and soul into it. And in this case, that meant hundreds of millions of dollars from the corporation every year for marketing and for acquiring events. And it helped to build the brand of HBO in the early years. As time went on and changes came and competition arose and top executives at HBO didn't have the same passion for the game nor the connection to the past, that's where the inevitability set in. And then they had the Warner and AT&T merged, and they have their own game plan, and they're going to make the good fight without prize fighting.
Now, Larry, I mean, there's just so many memories, and you know, I for one have a lot just being, you know, ringside as a kid, you know, with my dad, and just taking me to the fights, and you know, so I have my perspective of it, and I mean, everyone is pouring over their thoughts on Twitter and in articles, and but what I wanted to figure out is, you know, some of your best memories. I know it's a very hard question to answer, but you know, your fondest memories of HBO Boxing. If you want to take us to a particular fight or just any old stories, you can bring to us.
Well, the 80s had those big, almost magical events around Sugar Ray Leonard, the best fighter of his time, and Tommy Hearns, who was an exciting second best, and then Marvin Hagler, the middleweight champion, and they fought each other, and every fight is remembered by the fans as a kind of a almost a Broadway play, and then the great heavyweight era with Foreman returning and Mike Tyson and Lennox Lewis coming from abroad and others, Evander Holyfield, one of the best fighters of his time. And they all fought each other ultimately and made gigantic events. And then a new era with Oscar De La Hoya and the great Mexican fighters as the titanic plates of boxing shifted toward Mexican and Mexican-Americans. Roy Jones and his sensational style and his prime, Bernard Hopkins, and many others, and then into the 21st century with Manny Pacquiao, an extraordinary fighter, and the great featherweights of their time. So there have been a number of eras within the network's lifetime. And it was a joy for me to fight to attend and cover the fights with Jim Lampley, Emanuel Stewart, George Foreman, Ray Leonard. And it was just a magical time.
You're right. I mean, only you can sum it up perfectly. Go from every era to every era, right? Like you just did. But I know they brought you in Philadelphia sports writer. Not a lot of people know, you know, especially, you know, my generation, about how you got your start as a Philadelphia sports writer. You know, I know HBO wanted to bring like a journalistic element to their broadcast. Did you have any doubts early on about going from print to TV? Because it seems like, you know, almost every broadcaster does that now.
Well, early on, I had written a column for 20 years, 10 years in Philadelphia, where I was also the sports editor of the Philadelphia Daily News, and then 10 years with the New York Post. And there comes a time in the life of a columnist that I believe, and I'm not the first one to believe this, where you either move along to something else within the writing profession, or you start to repeat yourself, and you get a little burned out. So the opportunities arose. I wrote a couple of books, and those opened opportunities. And I did video and TV work along the way. And I had no idea when I left the New York Post in the mid-60s, back. But I was going to go on my own, and I moved out to California, and things worked out the way they worked out. You know, suddenly the revolution in television came along with HBO and ESPN, and that provided some opportunities. And HBO decided it was going to be the edgier competition for CBS, NBC, and ABC, and I was part of that groundbreaking moment.
Now, you brought up, you know, working with Jim Lampley, working with George Foreman. You know, what a trio that was for so many years, calling those big fights. You had everything. You had the pageantry that Jim brought to the table. You had the big fight element, you know, especially with the heavyweights that George could break down. And then we had you, Larry, who was never afraid to pull any punches. You know, you would tell, you call a spade a spade. You know, just talk about that trio, that booth, working alongside Jim Lampley, working alongside George Foreman for all those years.
Well, Jim is really an excellent host and blow-by-blow television veteran who has always poured his enthusiasm into it and a kind of photographic memory of everything that ever happened.
Yep.
And, you know, George and Emanuel Stewart were my main sidekicks. And, you know, they brought you know, a certain profundity and knowledge of the game to the broadcast. And my role as a commentator came from my journalism background, and where I saw fit to try to show that this was also entertainment as well as a competition, and to approach it as a journalist would. And if I had nothing to say, just say nothing. And if I had something to say, say it. And I was very fortunate that the men who ran the department were willing to put up with some of the backlash that would occur. If we signed a fighter to a like Roy Jones, like Mike Tyson, like many others, from their point of view, they were part of our family. And why was I saying what I said about them when I said it about them if I did say something about them? And the executives would get calls from the promoters and managers and expressing dismay over something I might have said or asked as a question after the fight. And the executives, you know, for them, it made negotiations harder. But they stood by it. They believed in it. And I was very lucky because no matter how good you may or may not be, if the source of your material is unhappy, then you have to cope with it. And they were willing to stand up for me. And I was often told to just do what you're doing, Larry. It makes our job harder, but you can keep doing it.
That's great. That's great. Because, you know, everyone has their reasons. You know, I don't know if you even bothered to check Twitter, but everyone has their reasons for the demise of HBO. You know, from obviously bad matchmaking or whatever you want to say it was. But, you know, there's a lot of talk about, you know, how the broadcast and the fact that you bring up that you were not afraid to rip into a fighter or criticize a fighter that was part of the HBO family. But it almost got to the point where the HBO broadcast, they were accused of being too homerish, being too much on the side of the A side. Is that something you noticed over the years? And do you think that kind of helped lead to a little bit of the decay of the broadcast?
I don't know. You know, there are various forces. Some of it had to do with the fact that America hasn't produced a serious heavyweight for a quarter of a century. We don't know yet if Deontay Wilder, who will eventually challenge the Brit, yep, Joshua, mm-hmm, but the title is the real thing. But we had one for most of the 20th century. The heavyweight champion was an American, and it meant something. And even if you didn't care about sports or boxing, the heavyweight champion had a stature that commanded your interest. And so that was symbolic of a certain decline. All the heavyweights started to become linebackers and power forwards. So we just lost that part of the game. And if you notice, even now, there are a number of excellent American fighters, but a few of them are middleweights. Most of them are welterweights, which I point out because I don't think football and basketball are looking for welterweights and middleweights. They're looking for heavyweights.
Yep.
So, you know, part of it is a cultural change and shift. Part of it is the communications revolution. I mean, here is HBO going out of boxing at the same time as Showtime has raised its game. ESPN has raised its game significantly with also a platform, a secondary platform. Mm-hmm. Fox has poured in $60 million recently. A British promoter is going to have a platform, a digital platform that where he's collected over $1 billion for, I don't know, a few years of shows.
Right.
So, and the game has become more international as it's lessened its some appeal in the U.S. We see the fighters from the former Soviet Union. We see everybody is welcome from wherever you came. And Manny Pacquiao, suddenly a new fan base of Filipinos,
yeah,
materialized. So the world has changed, the country has changed, and that the game has changed, and HBO has decided that it's going to change.
Did you ever think in your wildest dreams that HBO would get out of boxing?
I really never thought about it. I saw the, subtle decline setting in and subtle lack of interest. I didn't know where it would lead. Bob Arum taking top rank to ESPN was a significant event, and Heyman and his fighters being rejected by HBO and going elsewhere sort of signaled the lowering of interest, and the decisions were not made in the sports department. They were made in the executive suites.
Now, Larry, I know that there's a generation of fight fans who know you strictly as the man who said that he wanted to kick Floyd Mayweather's ass. I mean, what a moment that was. I mean, it doesn't define you by any stretch of the imagination, but it is a moment of your career. How often are you reminded of that, and how do you feel? Do you still think you can take Floyd? Because apparently he wants to come back.
Well, I get reminded about once a day, and it's fascinating to me as a phenomenon that I sort of knew it as I left the ring, thinking to myself, this will be no lower than the second paragraph of my obituary. but of course, to me, it doesn't define things. I covered World Series Super Bowls and Olympics long before HBO. On HBO, I wrote some series, but understandably, I'm best known in boxing, and that moment was so spontaneously unusual that it did mark me and did make me look back and think, well, where did that come from? Because it was just a counterpunch to a fighter who was punching at me in a personal way, and it will live in infamy.
You're absolutely right. It will live in infamy. I'm looking at YouTube before you called in, and they had Larry Merchant's best moments. That was one of them. And another one was when you shoved that guy who just tried to steal the spotlight. I know I've done post-fight interviews. You never give up the microphone, and you never let someone get in the way of your shot. That guy who ran in, you know, he was robbed. He was robbed.
Yeah.
And then you decided to shove him
that
out of the way.
That was in Boston. But to me, maybe my best moment was after Buster Douglas pulled off the upset of the centuries, and he was so emotionally overwrought. His mother having died a few weeks before, having had some problems with his dad along the way. His dad had been a real professional fighter out of Columbus, Ohio, many years before, and had a gym, and Buster had never really shown a sufficient passion for it. And as I interviewed him, he couldn't pull himself together. And we had about 20 seconds or longer of dead time on the air, but it wasn't dead. It was the most alive time ever. In people just looking at a guy who just done the unimaginable and was so emotional that he couldn't speak, but he wanted to speak, and he finally did. And for me, having by that time, just having the experience to say to myself, whoa, this is show and tell. Just let it play. This can say more than any words he has to say. For me, that was a time that I felt, okay, now I am a real television professional. just by saying nothing and listening to nothing.
Yeah, oftentimes those are the best moments for broadcasters, when they lay out and they let the TV or the moment take a hold of it. But you brought up Mike Tyson. Do you think Mike Tyson, you look at all the eras of HBO boxing, and you kind of went through them so elegantly, Do you think the Mike Tyson era was the best era of HBO, or do you think it, when it moved on to Oscar and Floyd, in your opinion, what was the best era of HBO boxing?
I don't know. I don't know how to measure it. It was an important era because Tyson was such a wild and dynamic personality and fighter, and heavyweight champion for a couple of years. That it electrified people and sold a lot of subscriptions to HBO. So that was a great era. But when you look back, you know, yes, but so was De La Hoya and Shane Mosley and others that we understandably forget in looking back, because we were a heavyweight network covering a lot of great heavyweights, and that period of time, late 80s and early 90s, was I'm sure great for business and for galvanizing fans out there to make HBO destination television.
Yeah, I mean, that's what it was for me. I'm 31 years old, so, you know, my era was Arturo Gatti, De La Hoya, Floyd Mayweather, you know, Shane Mosley. So you're absolutely right. Everyone has their own era of HBO boxing that they identify with, and that's the main thing that I've taken away since the news broke out, is everyone giving their personal reflections of HBO. You know, I watched with my dad, and, you know, I started watching in the heavyweights in the 70s and then up through the 80s with Mike Tyson, and then you go forward there. But a lot of other speculation is if HBO decides that October 27th in New York City will be their final show, you know, people want to see Larry Merchant on the telecast. There is some rumbling, some rumors. I don't know if you even know about this, Larry, but they want to see you on HBO. Have you heard from HBO? And so let's say HBO did reach out to you and they wanted to get the old band back together, you, George, and Jim. Would you do it?
Well, nobody's asked me, and I don't have to be there. I said my farewell when I said my farewell, and that's up to them. I'm sure they'll put together some sort of montage of fights over the decades. And whether I'm there or not, I will be a part of it.
You're right. I hope you are there, just because I think you belong there. But Larry, I really appreciated it. I honestly, it's kind of surreal having this conversation about HBO, and I'm sure you felt you feel the same way. I don't know if you even remember me being ringside as a little kid, but I always enjoyed going to the fights, and, you know, it was a big thrill for me to get to talk to you and Jim and George and Roy, and just being ringside was a real thrill for me, and being able to talk to you today about boxing has been great. So I really appreciate it, Larry. I really hope to see you October 27th.
Well, thanks for your memories.
Sports fans, what's up? Football season is here. That means it is time to get in on the action with MyBookie.net. MyBookie.net is the industry-leading sports action website that offers real Vegas odds on football, baseball, and all your favorite sporting events. You can take the A side, the total. You can even bet on the over-under, how many fantasy points a player will score. MyBookie.net lets you play online and win big. Use promo code INSIDEBOXING when you register for your account and get a 100% sign-up bonus. Did the game already kick off? Don't sweat it. MyBookie.net has in-game live action on every major league event, even esports. There's no better time to join MyBookie.net than today. Go to MyBookie.net to open an account and start winning now. Use promo code INSIDEBOXING when you register for your account and get a 100% sign-up bonus. Get in on the action. Don't miss out. Visit MyBookie.net website today. Once again, use promo code INSIDEBOXING to get a 100% sign-up bonus. It's MyBookie.net, promo code INSIDEBOXING for that 100% bonus. No deposit necessary. Terms and conditions apply. For entertainment purposes only. Void where prohibited.
OK,
Okay, before we get to Kevin Ioli, I have to tell you about Jack Doyle's restaurant and bar located on 35th Street and 7th Avenue, right in the heart of Manhattan. It's Jack Doyle's. Now is the time to go into Jack Doyle's. It's football season, college football, MLB playoffs. Go watch the Yankee wildcard game on Wednesday. Got NHL hockey right around the corner. I know Kevin loves his Vegas hockey team. So Jack Doyle's, go check him out. And tell him the Inside Boxing Live crew sent you. And with that, we'll bring in Kevin Ioli, Yahoo Sports. Kevin, thank you for coming on. How's everything going in Vegas?
I am doing great. I can't wait to get back to Jack Doyle's when I'm there for UFC 230.
That's right. I know the last fight, I think it was the Lomachenko fight. I know that a lot of the writers, they were going to go over to Jack Doyle's afterwards, right?
Absolutely. That's the place.
That is the place to be if you're any type of sports fan. So head over there. I appreciate the plug, Kevin. But to get you on here, we want to talk about a little reflection of HBO Sports. You had a great piece over on Yahoo.com talking with Ross Greenberg, who, for those of you who don't know Ross Greenberg, I know a lot of boxing fans, they do know. They're very in-the-know boxing fans. But he was a former HBO president. Before that, he was a longtime producer at HBO. And he was just a major influential piece of boxing, especially on the broadcast side, major innovator. You know, talk a little bit about that conversation that you have with Ross.
Yeah, you know, I called him to talk to him. You know, I did a couple of different articles because I thought the fact that HBO announced they're pulling out of boxing was really a monumental story in the world of boxing. I mean, HBO had been the most powerful entity in boxing for a long, long time. And they, as you said, they had made so many innovations. And Ross was a key to that because he became the president in 2000. Before that, he was the executive producer. And so he was really responsible in a lot of ways for what you saw on the air, both in the fights in the ring and what the broadcast was like. And I called him to kind of go over what his memories were and what was good and what was bad about HBO. And, you know, he had so many interesting stories, but I thought the most interesting one was when he told me Jimmy Jacobs sent him a VHS cassette tape and said, "Hey, look at this guy I have who's 13-0. You might want to see him and put him on the air." And that led to Mike Tyson becoming a staple on HBO.
Yeah, that was a really cool tidbit. You know, driving up, it must have been such an unreal moment for Ross Greenberg, driving up to Troy, New York, to see a young heavyweight who was just knocking people out. I think that's when he knew it. Another good nugget there was that he, you know, hastily put together a three-fight contract for Tyson because they knew that they had something crazy on their hands.
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, people have always loved heavyweights. And even before Mike was the champion, I mean, he was one of these guys that people just were in awe of because of the aura he created. I mean, he went to the ring. At that time, he was going no socks, no robe, you know, the black trunks and black shoes. And he was just destroying people. And his first fight on HBO was the one where he fought Jesse Ferguson. And he infamously said, "I like to knock the nose bone up into the brain." And that got quite a lot of attention.
Yeah, do you agree with us, just going off track for a second, do you agree with Tyson's latest statement about the state of boxing, how there's not enough personalities, that's why maybe the boxing's in a decline?
Well, I think it's not that there's not enough personalities. It's that I don't think that a lot of the guys are promoted well enough. I think that's clearly the biggest issue. You know, I don't think boxing is in a decline.
Yeah.
I think there's this many, many good fighters. You know, obviously we have great TV coverage now, you know, probably better TV coverage than there's ever been. But I think what happens is, you know, with social media and with everything that's out there, there's so much pressure on these guys that they back away. And, you know, you know, Deontay Wilder, a great example of that. I mean, you know, he is a great personality, a fun guy. A lot of people like him, but he's not very well known by the American public, even though he's the champion, because he hasn't been promoted the way he should. And I think that that's an example of the problem in boxing today.
Yeah, it's frustrating because, you know, people are trying to pinpoint why HBO decided to get out of boxing. And, you know, people will try to tell you why boxing is dead or why boxing's dying. They do it to me all the time and people ask me, what do I do? And I tell them, oh, I work in boxing. And then they just proceed to tell me everything that's wrong with boxing and everything that's how it can be fixed. And it's not like the 80s anymore. So once people hear about that HBO backs out, you know, the common thing for the casual fan to say is like, oh, well, you know, that's just boxing because boxing's dead. But, and you know, if you take a look, the hardcore fan or any fan that's in the know can see that, you know, boxing right now is flourishing like never before.
Yeah, if you look at it, you know, Showtime has been leading the way for a long time. I mean, what they've been doing with their fights, and they're still putting on great fights on a weekly basis. Now, in December, Fox is going to come on board where they're going to show shows on the network monthly. You're going to have shows on Fox Sports 1. But in addition to that, and I think this is what's really big, they're going to have pre-fight shows. They're going to have studio shows. They're going to have post-fight shows. They're going to do specials on the fighters. And so I think Fox is – what kind of the coverage that they give to the UFC now, their deal is ending with the UFC, and that's going to go to boxing. And I think that that is so important because, you know, you have a lot more investment in a fight when you feel one way or the other about one of the fighters, when you know the fighters and you care about the fighters. You know, you might like this guy and not like that guy, so now you have a rooting interest as opposed to turning on the TV and seeing two guys fight you don't know who they are. I think that's going to be so big for it. But you have ESPN. You know, you and I have been around a long time, and ESPN televised boxing for many years, but it was always the low-level fights. Right. It wasn't. Now with the top-ranked deal, you know, they're putting some of the best fighters in the world on. DAZN is spending a lot of money on the streaming side. ESPN has a streaming side. There's a ton of boxing for people to watch now, and I think in a lot of ways it's a golden age of boxing on television.
You bring up a good point about how, you know, the fans need to be invested in the fighters, and it's something that HBO did so well, the storytelling aspect of it, and it's something I had Eddie Hearn on this show, and that's something they do very well overseas in England, is getting the fans invested in it. And I can see Fox, I'm actually, great point that you just brought up about how Fox is going to take all their resources like they did with the UFC, turn into boxing. That's very good thing for the sport of boxing. But I saw somewhere on Twitter, and it's been a minefield trying to get through all the takes on what caused HBO's demise and what does this mean for the business going forward. But someone said that this will have a negative impact on Showtime, and I really can't figure out how or why. Do you have any input on how this affects another premium cable subscriber that is Showtime?
No, I don't think it affects Showtime negatively at all. I have a story coming out. I talked to Steven Espinoza, the president of Showtime Sports, about their commitment to boxing. And, you know, they have data that shows exactly the opposite of what HBO said. You know, Peter Nelson made the comment that their research showed their subscribers weren't interested in boxing and it wasn't pushing the needle for them. And Showtime's data shows exactly the opposite. So, you know, it's a little bit weird, you know, I guess. But I think Showtime is going to still be doing what they do. You know, Fox is going to be interesting because they have a deal with Premier Boxing Champions, as does Showtime. Mm-hmm. And so they're going to be sharing, you know, the fighters that Premier Boxing Champions has. So that, to see how that works out, is going to be the one interesting thing because, you know, up to now, Showtime has largely had the pick of the litter when it comes to the PBC fights. And, you know, now some of those you have to think are going to go on to Fox. So, but I think, you know, Showtime's commitment to boxing is very strong. And given that, I don't think you'll see it waver.
Yeah, I've heard maybe that, you know, Showtime will dedicate their airtime to specific weight classes. You know, maybe Showtime will own the 154 and 147, and Fox will have the heavyweights. You're hearing a lot of different things. I'm sure you asked Steven Espinoza in your story that's going to come out soon on Yahoo about Canelo Alvarez, because right now he is like the A-Rod of boxing. This is 2001 A-Rod right now. This is the free agent. He can go anywhere. But if you had to estimate, you know, where Canelo ends up, do you think it's somewhere like Showtime, or do you think maybe ESPN and Top Rank make a big run at him?
Well, I think both of those are going to make a run at him, and I think DAZN is going to make a big run at him as well. I think, you know, whichever entity does it is going to have the opponents for him, and which to me would seem right now would be either Fox or Showtime, because with the deal with the PBC, there's a lot of guys that would be good opponents. More of them are contracted with Showtime and Fox, and being the PBC connection, than they are with ESPN. But that, I think that's going to be the big issue. But Gennady Golovkin's in the same kind of boat. So I think it's going to, you know, it might behoove Canelo and Gennady to sign short-term deals, one-term deals, go on a fight-by-fight basis, because make yourself as flexible as possible. If there's a big fight that pops up, be able to take it, as opposed to saying, I'm going to sign a long-term deal with ESPN, say, and then all the fighters you want to fight are on Showtime and Fox, or vice versa. I think that's something that, you know, the fighter management has to think of. They always have gone for that long-term before, but that those long-term deals sometimes led to fights that weren't as exciting as maybe we wanted to see.
But how hard is it though for networks to give out a one fight deal? And they want more than just one fight. They want, you know, a long term investment, so they can tell their, you know, investors, they can tell their executives that, hey, listen, we have Canelo for three fights. Do you think that will be tough to do? Maybe like an ESPN takes Canelo for one fight.
You know, the PBC has not had long term contracts with their fighters, right? I mean, they don't sign them to networks. So, you know, if you take Errol Spence, who's one of the best fighters in the world, he's not contracted anybody, but there's no problem with him getting on Showtime. So I don't think it's going to be an issue. I think if it's an issue, it's going to be on the Golden Boy side, on the Canelo management side, not on the side of the network. But I think, you know, Golden Boy has to say, and Canelo's management has to look at this and say, hey, I believe in myself. We have a good product here. We have a guy that people want to see, and let's just cherry pick. And so the next fight that makes sense for us is Fighter X. He's with X Network. Let's sign one fight for that network to fight him. Now, if we have, you know, a good deal and they promote me well and there's another good opponent logically down the road, hey, we'll go back. But I think that if you take it on a fight-by-fight basis, you have the maximum flexibility and you enable yourself to make the most money and the best fights.
I know that Golden Boy was one of the few promoters that were still, you know, giving HBO fights, you know, in the last two years, I would say. But, you know, they've kind of pivoted away from HBO and they kind of set up shop with Facebook. Now, do you think that is a long-term play? You know, everything that all the issues that Facebook is going through, you know, with the data breaches and, you know, just the general, not a lot of people are interested in going onto Facebook, especially boxing fans as well. But where does this HBO leaving boxing leave Golden Boy?
Yeah, I think Golden Boy is going to be in a similar position to a number of promoters, and I think they're going to have to, you know, work with a bunch of different networks. I mean, I hope the Facebook thing works. You know, I know Oscar De La Hoya is high on it, but can they monetize it? Can they get it on there and get the kind of numbers that they can monetize it and pay these big fees? Because, look, these fighters are not cheap. And, you know, I think what may have happened in boxing maybe in the 80s and 90s is some of the fighters got overpaid. And so they had such high salaries that there was this gap between the very top and the lower end, and there was this massive gap. And so sometimes it's going to be hard now to say, well, let's get it in a more reasonable term. And the top guys come down and the bottom guys come up. But the top guys aren't going to want to do that. So is Canelo going to want to go on there and fight for $6 million or $7 million? No, he's probably not going to want to do that because he's used to making $40 and $50 million. And that is a big problem. And so can Facebook, you know, I think they have more money than God, but do they want to spend it on something like boxing? That would be the question.
Well, now, yeah, you got to figure the streaming and everything that's going on with that between DAZN, ESPN+. What were your initial thoughts on that DAZN rollout for Anthony Joshua Povetkin fight? I thought the production level was good. The broadcast team was solid. What were your thoughts on an initial DAZN fight?
Well, you know, I was not crazy about what they did. I mean, you know, I thought that my stream at home went well. I had a problem with the Bellator stream from DAZN. I tweeted on the night of the Bellator fight. I had gigabit internet, so, you know, really, really fast, probably faster than 99.9% of the people out there, and I was having buffering issues. That was a problem coming from DAZN. I thought the problem that they did, they're trying to reinvent the wheel, and they didn't have to. They had too many people involved in the broadcast. My colleague Chris Mannix is a capable host, but he had Kay Adams with him. You had Sugar Ray Leonard and Sergio Mora as expert analysts. Brian Kenny, you know, to me is more of a host than a play-by-play guy. And then those other two guys, Ack and Barack. And, you know, there were so many people involved in that broadcast. And then it was like weird. You got the interview with Sky on there, and then you got the interview with DAZN on. You know, I didn't think it was really polished, and I think they got to work on that. I think they, you know, they're trying to hit a different audience, and I get that, and I think that that's smart. But I think, boxing production has been pretty good for a long time. They don't need to totally reinvent it. I think they just need to tweak it a bit.
Yeah, you're right. There were some growing pains they're going to have to go through. It's a totally capable broadcast team, but you're right. They're going to have to figure out, hit their stride. and just put on good fights. That's the main thing. We saw that with the PBC when they first came out with all the bells and whistles and the Hans Zimmer music. But, you know, as long as the fights have to be good, the fans will come. Unfortunately, we have this BJ Saunders drug fiasco on our hands here. He took some type of stimulant. I don't know the name of it. You know, we became very familiar with clenbuterol about a couple months ago. Everyone was a clenbuterol expert. Now the latest with BJ Saunders. Do you think that fight goes on? Because that would be a huge hit for DAZN.
I do think it's going to go on, but it remains to be seen. I mean, Frank Warren is insisting that this came from a cough medicine. So now there have been athletes who have had cough medicine and they have not been able to compete, and so they've been banned from competition because of that. So I mean, I don't think it's a slam dunk that it fights, but I do think that. It's more likely than not that he will fight. But, you know, I'd say these drug testing issues are really big. And I think that, you know, something has to be done, to educate the fighters, because there's so many ways that you can get contamination. You know, a big problem out there is supplement contamination. You know, guys take supplements that they think are okay, and they, you know, they were made in a lab where something that's illegal is also made, and the equipment doesn't get clean, and the testing is now so sophisticated they get caught. So I think that's a big issue, and this is something to watch in the future, is, you know, because boxing doesn't have a solid, consistent policy throughout with their drug testing.
It's going to be tough. It's going to be tough to give a guy like BJ Saunders the benefit of the doubt. I mean, he was pretty vocal when Canelo failed his drug test. He's a guy that likes to talk, so he's going to have a tough time winning some fans over, but, you know, it'd be interesting to see if that fight does go on, because it is an intriguing matchup in the middleweight division. Before we let you go, I know we opened up the interview talking about HBO. We had Larry Merchant on before you came on. I asked him, you know, what, in your mind, is the most the well-known moment in HBO history? Was it, you know, early on days with the heavyweights, or was it Mike Tyson, or was it Oscar De La Hoya? So I'll ask you, Kevin, what's your remembrance of HBO?
I think when you think of HBO, they had so many great fights on over the years, but the one that, you know, people talk about to this day, 40 years later, is the Thriller in Manila. That, I think, is the fight that really made HBO a player. It's one of the three great fights of all time between two of the most iconic fighters of all time, the most iconic fighter in Muhammad Ali, one of the most iconic fighters in Smoking Joe Frazier. A tremendous fight, a great setting for the fight. I mean, so many variables in that. And to me, that has to be the one. When you look at it and you say, you think back to HBO, what fight defines them? It's going to be the Thrill in Manila.
I mean, yeah, that's how they, you know, that's how they took off. And then from there, it was just so many great memories. Everyone has their favorite era of HBO boxing. Do you think that they move forward after October 27th? I know they said they wanted to end the year. Like, they technically have until the 2019 to put on some fights. Do you think October 27th is the final one, or can we see a Canelo pay-per-view? There's a lot of different swirling information out there about what will be the last HBO telecast.
Well, I'm almost positive that you will see Bivol fight on HBO after that. I think, I don't remember the date, but he's got a date in November, and I'm fairly confident that we will see Bivol, and I think there might be one other fight that they go in December as well. So I don't think Jacobs and Derevchenko are going to get the honor of being the last HBO fight, or the infamy of being the last HBO fight. But I do think there's going to be one or two more. But it's a sad end. I mean, there's no doubt given the way this has gone.
Yeah, it's absolutely sad. And I know in your article that you had with Ross, he talked about how he brought CompuBox to HBO. I mean, yes, I am the son of Bob Canoglia, who created CompuBox, and he's told me the stories over and over about how he went into Ross's office and he pitched him CompuBox, and then, you know, Ross was a gambler. He took a risk with a lot of different things. So it was a great story. I enjoyed reading it, and you always bring some great information to the show. Looking forward to talk to you soon. Maybe I'll see you at Jack Doyle's and I'll buy you around.
I love it.
All right, that's a wrap on another edition of Inside Boxing Live. If you've downloaded the podcast, don't forget to rate and review. It's very important for us. And as we say goodbye, we leave you with this very familiar theme.